I'm Skyler Cooper on with Sean Larkin with some exciting news today. Something that a lot of people have probably really been anticipating because they miss one of their favorite TV shows so much in Live PD. It used to be on A&E. And Sean Sticks Larkin, a big part of that show, with news today that we have a new show, very similar, coming back out. Tell us a little bit about it, Sticks. I know we've got a new network and a new name.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's, you know, I kind of joke, it's been one of the hardest secrets I've had to keep in my life as this thing has built up, and really looking forward to letting the public know, especially all the people in Tulsa that have supported the police department as well as, you know, Live PD. But we have partnered up with the Reels channel for a basically almost the exact same show, just with a new name and a new network carrying it. It's going to be called On Patrol Live. We're able to do the press release today through the Wall Street Journal, and people should be looking for the show hitting the air every Friday and Saturday night, just as it was before, for 3 hours live, sometime hopefully in late July to early August.
Now, we've come to expect a certain thing from Live PD, a lot of familiar faces kind of going around to certain cities. Are we looking at the same kind of thing for On Patrol, same cast? I guess you'll be on screen just as before?
That's correct. Yeah. So basically, it's even the same production company. They have kind of branched off a sister production company that's going to focus on law enforcement type programming and first responders. That's called Half Moon. And Dan Abrams will be the host. I will be one of the analysts on the show. Tom Morris, unfortunately, is not going to be part of the show. He's got some other projects going. And, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, we can all work together again down the road. But we have another analyst, a gentleman by the name of Curtis Wilson, who is actually from the Richland County Sheriff's Department. Anybody who's watched the show, Richland County has been on the show from episode one up until its cancellation. And he will be the other analyst on there joining me. Other than that, it will literally be the same format. From my understanding, there will be 8 police departments just as we had before. I will say this, legitimately, I don't know who the departments are. I anticipate finding that out in the weeks to come.
That was my next question. You anticipated it well. Hopefully, some of those favorites will be back. I say favorites because I know there was like a whole fan group. People loved Danny Brown out in Richland, and of course, they loved watching the folks here in Tulsa. The gentleman's name escapes me from Indiana, but his dog was Flex, who is super famous. Have their favorites.
Yeah, they do, you know, and that's, I posted on social media this morning, obviously, about it. And that's one of the comments or questions I know people have asked is, you know, will the canines be back? And it was kind of a joke for all of us on the show that, you know, people were more in love with the dogs than they were the officers themselves, which is understandable. But yeah, exactly. It will. It'll be the exact same type of show. This is just my personal opinion. I'm guessing there will be a few of the departments that everybody is familiar with that will be a part of it. Just because I know their agencies really believed and enjoyed being a part of the show and the community support that they had locally. So I anticipate we will see some of the same agencies, hopefully some of the exact same officers, as you mentioned, people like Danny Brown and whatnot that were favorites. But again, I personally do not know right now who will be a part of it. And hopefully very soon I will, and I'll be happy to share with everybody once I can.
So what has changed since the cancellation of Live PD? You know, there was a whole conversation about, you know, this came about after the George Floyd incident, and right. There was a lot of push back against these kind of programs that showed law enforcement, and they, you know, made claims about why it was not necessarily a fair assessment of a particular area. But what's different now? Why is this coming back in basically the same format?
You know, I think what's different, obviously, if you've got a network that's wanting to show this type of programming. And listen, it's something I've said since day one of the show, even after the cancellation, is the idea for On Patrol Live or this type of program, it is to show this is the job of American policing. And the whole idea behind it is to show, we're going to show rural areas, we're going to show urban areas. Hopefully, you know, we'll have a highway patrol a part of the show and things like that. And it's not to highlight one particular area within the country. It's to show this is it from coast to coast. This is small agencies. This is large agencies. This is what people are dealing with in this profession. And I'm happy to be a part of it returning. because, you know, obviously the big word out there is transparency. People want transparency. And I don't know what could be more transparent than a show that basically shows you this job live across the country. And again, I'm so happy that Reels has, you know, stepped up to the plate and is willing to put it back on air.
You know, you talk about transparency. It strikes me because this was so different when it first started, your previous iteration, from some of the other shows that were pre-taped and then all edited down to fit nice in a segment. That's not how this operates. It's not edited. The only thing that you might see is, you know, maybe a slight delay, which is, you got to do that for safety on live television, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you hit it right on the head, Skyler, is, you know, shows like Cops, you know, that is, that's an edited piece that's condensed down to 30 minutes. And, you know, when we say live, I mean, there are parameters that this thing falls into for live television, just like a live sporting event has a small delay. You know, kind of the example I always give on that is that, you know, when these college kids or somebody streaks across a football field, it never makes TV. You don't get to see it because of the delay that's built in. And with a show like live type of policing, there are things you don't want, you know, people at home shouldn't see. And obviously out of respect for, you know, victims' families, if we roll up on a shooting scene or a homicide or a fatality car accident or something like that, that's not something that should be aired on television. So that delay is there for those type of things. But it is, again, just to reiterate, I'm so happy to see the show coming back. You know, 2 years has been a long time, and it is something without exaggeration, whether I'm out in public or just recently I was out in Las Vegas, what's called Crime Con. In reference to my podcast, Cocktails and Cocktails, that was the number one question that was asked over and over and over again by everybody is, hey, when's the show coming back? So I'm happy to say it is finally coming back.
You still going to be, you know, going back to New York weekly kind of thing, similar setup for your lifestyle?
It is. You know, I miss it, but yet it was a nice break. You know, I kind of joke between my retirement from the police department and not having to travel out there so much. I've gotten the most sleep I have since I was probably 14 years old. But I'm ready for the grind again. I'm actually flying out there. I'm currently out in L.A. for something right now, but next week I will be in New York. We're doing the promo shoot so we can start getting the PR type stuff out there, and I'm ready for the grind. It's every weekend I'll be back out in the city, and I love that place.
You mentioned it a second ago. You've retired from Tulsa Police. You've got a podcast going. It sounds like you're leaning into this this lifestyle of spreading information about police, how you operate, and just kind of getting that word out. Is that sort of your next phase of your career?
Yeah, that's exactly it, and that's kind of where I was at listen, I am proud to have been not just a police officer, but one in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, in the horrible incident that happened at St. Francis Hospital a week ago, I did quite a bit of, you know, media interviews nationally. And that was one of the things I said was watching how the police department responded, how the community as a whole responded. You know, I'm proud to be a citizen of Tulsa. I'm proud to have been a Tulsa police officer, and I'll always stand by that. And it kind of just came to a point where, you know, I've been with the police department almost 25 years. There were some other opportunities that were coming available to me, you know, within the media world that still keeps me in touch with law enforcement. And I didn't want to let those pass me by. So to be a part of On Patrol Live, the podcast where I'm able to talk to law enforcement officers across the country and let them share their stories, the book that I put out, you know, a year ago, and the other, you know, news interviews, talking with you here, you know, Skyler, it's things like this I'm happy to be a part of. And just to get I don't know if I'd say a voice for law enforcement as the profession out there, but I'm happy to be a part of it and help facilitate that.
Given your time at TPD, I know you were in the gang unit, the crime gun unit. What is your take on the current conversation, like in the last couple of weeks with Uvalde and Philadelphia? And unfortunately, we include Tulsa with mass shootings and gun laws. What are you thinking right now?
You know, it's a tough conversation. I've been asked that, you know, what's the answer to it? I don't know. I mean, just to be very blunt, I know there's a lot of conversation surrounding gun laws and things like that. And, you know, what I say to that is for 25 years, and just as you mentioned, you know, my time spent within the crime gun unit and the gang unit, which was the last half of my career, all we did was take guns out of the hands that laws, you know, are supposed to prevent people from having guns. So, even if we were to stop manufacturing guns right now, stop the sale of guns right now, you know, the guns are out there. They're not a perishable item. And obviously there's no way you could ever have the government seize the guns from the people here within the U.S. You know, I honestly don't know the answer to it. I am a firm believer that mental health is the biggest factor in why these type of things are happening, at least on these, you know, well-publicized large items like that. But then we've got a criminal element that commit way more shootings, way more homicides, you know, across the country yearly that need to be dealt with. So it's a tough situation we found ourselves in, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Some people are finding themselves conflicted because they've long been, say, a Second Amendment supporter and they own guns and they think, gosh, I would never do something like this. Why should I, you know, suffer a change or see a law change? But then there's other people who are saying, yeah, but got to do something, right? Whether that is a gun thing or looking at mental health a little more closely. Do you see government action that should be taken or that you think would be the most beneficial to try to reduce those types of shootings?
You know, I stand by my statement right there. I think the number one issue as far as when we say the mass shootings, the things that happened, you know, at St. Francis Hospital. Listen, there's a lot of people who have had horrific back pain problems. I mean, including my mother, and they don't go, you know, to their doctor or to a healthcare facility and shoot it up. You know, the situation that happened down in Texas, you know, things like that that are happening. I think those primarily are focused on mental health issues that somehow, some way, we've got to find a way that we can stop. But then going back to the criminal element side of it, the gang members and people like that that I've dealt with through the years, you know, it's not a mental health issue. These are, gangsters, people, criminal minded, that will find ways to get their hands on guns and commit, you know, the type of crimes with, unless we have strong prosecution and keeping violent offenders locked up. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in that the guys that are out here committing violent crimes, the convicted felons that get out and continuously get caught with guns and get slaps on the wrist. I mean, these are the guys that need to be locked up and kept locked up for a while.
Sean Sticks Larkin on the current conversation around guns and mass shootings. Also talking about On Patrol Live, debuting soon on the Reels Network, sort of revising of Live PD for fans of that show who missed it. Sticks, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Hey, Skyler, thank you so much. I appreciate it.